Also, have you played any VR? I'm so deathly curious how that's going for you.
I'm gonna put my money on no, given the week he's had.
No, like
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
not since Friday, but I did play more. I just can't remember what games. The
You
ones I
didn't
was talking to
Resident
you on
Evil.
Messenger.
Resident
Resident
Evil.
Evil, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'll never play that one again.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that's what I want. Perfect. That's our lead. That's what I
Okay.
want to
All
hear.
right.
We left that as a cliffhanger to viewers last week.
God. Game shouldn't have been made.
The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I got a 6-year-old and a almost 4-year-old.
And mine is so close to the cut. Like, I almost want to call him two because he's on the cusp. I think it's better representative, although perhaps saying 1.5 kind of lowers his expectations. He's eating a lot of pace
Could
there.
be good or
Well,
bad.
1.5.
Yeah.
He doesn't observe any normal, nice, kind rules. No, 1.5-year-olds, eh?
Eventually, they're gonna be like, it's been 1.5 for a couple of
For a
years
long
now.
time. I decided to keep him back.
Yeah.
Constantly back.
Yeah.
That's the biggest
Treating
fourth grade I've ever seen.
him.
Well,
1.5.
as you know. Answer right off the top. So the couple things to get into for the show, but right off the top, I want to dive into new dad reality. Specifically, Jeff, how was your week in virtual reality?
Resident Evil should never have been made. It's just too much for the heart to handle. It needs to come with like a heart monitor to warn you and shut off when there's palpitations
It
that go
comes
too
like
high.
they do like a collaboration with Fitbit, just
Yeah,
tracking your
exactly. Just send the results to your doctor like live stream.
Yeah.
Just you
If
should
your
stop.
heart rate gets too high, it's just all of a sudden the screen just fills with puppies.
Yeah. You need eye bleach, please, kittens, something.
It fills up with puppies from the bottom, so it obscures enough of your
That's
view.
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So walk us through. So this is the you did the kitchen demo, or you did
No.
the full Resident Evil 7 demo
The full Resident Evil 7 demo. So
in virtual reality.
in VR. Yeah. So one thing I did notice though is that you do have to kind of fiddle around with the settings. Because if you go in, it measures where your pupils are. So the lenses are kind of, well, probably calibrated to yours. So my eyes are different.
Yeah, to my fat head. So
Right. So
he's putting
when you
it. I was like, who wears this?
right.
Like, okay.
But it's like a software setting, I guess, and it adjusts, it kind of like scales the game almost. It pins where your eyes would see things. So when I started Resident Evil, it was kind of like I was walking through a dollhouse. Like things were really like
Firstly,
small. I was
that's a
like,
terrible, like pinning your eyes is a terrible way to describe
oh yeah,
it.
okay, I guess, yeah. But
Because
it
immediately I'm
was
thinking of the scene in Dead Space, like
oh
two
God,
out of
no. Space
three.
2. Don't do that in VR. That would suck too.
If
The
you guys
needle
oh
through
yeah.
the No. But no, I kind of fiddled with the settings and it made it a whole lot scarier. And I've played the demo just normally and you can drop down to like a like the basement and it's dark. Yeah, do that in VR. It's totally different. It's just not even on the same level anymore. Like, nope, I'm out. Sorry. It's too much sound. It's the sound. Everything's behind you and in you and yeah. Nope. Not
So
gonna do it.
you're enjoying the future, you're saying, Jeff.
Yeah. Future of horror movies and heart attacks. That's not gonna happen.
Did you make it through? Did you play the whole demo, or did you not get did you have to stop?
Almost all the way through. I didn't go down in the basement, screw that. But I played like the old videotapes, which it's like if you've seen the movie The Ring. So in VR, it's like you're in the ring now, because it's got like that filmy VHS tape look to it, and you're looking around the same way. Oh man, no thanks. I'm out.
So the before we move on to Gavin, any other notable gaming or parenthood experiences this week?
Not so much gaming. Parenthood, my wife had to go to the hospital for, well, it was a severe asthma attack, I guess we'll call it. They're still trying to figure it out. So just as an FYI, it's hard running around with two kids. And thank God I had some family close by to drop the kids off, but to work the hospital, come back here, kind of live the family life, clean up, and try to take care of things. It's hard. So props to everybody that does it as a single parent. Like, wow, you just got a heart of steel. So it's but other than that, it's been okay for parenthood and fatherhood. So, but she's on the mend. She's fine. She's getting better. She's just in there for observation for a bit, so the kids can hang out with me for a couple more days. Just me.
Oh, of course, man. So the constant theme of new dad gaming around the respect for single parents and how on earth they...
I don't know how they do it. When they outnumber you, it's hard.
Yeah. Nah, well, props to you for doing what you need to do, and obviously thoughts go out for fast healing. And
yeah, appreciate it. She's good.
Back the so Gavin, yourself, how was your week in fatherhood and gaming?
Good. Fatherhood was solid. Lots of fun playtime. She's today she tried out my Wacom tablet just because I wanted to be dad for the day. So that was pretty adorable. My wife got some good pictures of that. And it was weird because like she actually started to see the correlation of moving the pen, because it's just a standard drawing tablet where you don't draw on the screen. So she started to actually understand the correlation of moving this, like, basically this crayon thing on this big pad and then seeing a cursor moving around on a monitor. And she was sort of like watching it do its thing. And that was really weird because it's like she kind of was like intuition about it. I'm like, uh-oh, it's daddy's girl there. So yeah, no, that was really cool to see her interacting with that. It was, I think, one of her first, with the exception of like playing like a tablet game to like pop bubbles and stuff, it was one of her first interactions with tech to that scale, other than just swatting at a phone or taking a selfie. So that was kind of neat seeing that. But no, it's been a good week with dad stuff. As far as gaming goes, I finished a second playthrough of Spec Ops The Line. Second time through. Well, the second playthrough in my lifetime. Not over the last week or so. And just as solid as I remember it. Really enjoyed it. Also finished off Rise of the Tomb Raider. Cannot praise that game enough. Just the use of the tools that you unlock to solve environmental problems and puzzles is just so clever, because it's the tools that you use all the time. Unlike with sometimes with Uncharted, a lot of puzzle elements are like kind of bolted to the scenery, whereas in Tomb Raider there are puzzle elements bolted to the scenery, but you interact with them with the tools that you have acquired through the playing of the game, and that you learn how to use, but then sometimes if you use them a little bit more abstract than you were before to try to solve a puzzle. And really, really interesting puzzle design, really fun boss battle at the end. I'm excited for what's next and what they want to do next. So far it's 2 for 2. I really like what they're doing with the new Tomb Raider games. They're a real pleasure. This one was a little bit less violent than the last one.
I think that's one I have. If that's kind of like the was it that the Xbox one? It was
exclusive. It was just called Tomb Raider.
That's brutal.
It was a little brutal, but I think it was supposed to tell her story of like learning a life of violence. I finished those two off. I decided to pick up Batman Arkham Knight because it was on for a really solid price, and I'm like, yeah, okay, for that price I'll roll the dice. And I like the Arkham games. They're usually, you know, the first two were really solid. I know this one didn't really quite get to the bar as those ones, but I also get to drive around in the 1989 Batman Batmobile. So if I get to do that, I'm fine with that.
There you go, yeah.
And then, yeah, this evening I just cracked into System Shock 2 because I've always wanted to check it out and never really had a chance back when it first came out.
Oh, you never played it? That'll be interesting.
So far it is very interesting.
Just because the game mechanics are totally outdated.
It's so weird how like the user interface and even just like the way they use WSAD is not the same to me. So I had to like rebind a bunch of the keys, and then just that weird sort of toggle between use mode and shoot mode and all this stuff. I'm like, wow. but I'm really enjoying it, and the atmosphere, especially the audio design, is really cool. And that music is so techno 90s.
Yeah.
Like Neo's
so good though.
Kick through a window. it's pretty cool. Like, it makes me very curious to see like that sort of aesthetic, that like deep space sci-fi, like Event Horizon, but with less Catholicism vibe. Like, it's really cool. Like, I wonder what would happen if they had gone more that route with BioShock as opposed to the other way that they went. So so that's about it for me.
Jeez, that's
a full plate.
That's an enviable plate. That's a it's a fantastic list of games to be getting through.
Yeah, it was really, everything was like, all the games I beat were there on the ropes. Like, they were just like, I had like 30 minutes left in them. It was a long time coming. It just, they all sort of toppled over at the same time, and then I just refreshed the queue shortly after. So it was just a perfect storm of, yeah, this is all, you know, really the same duration of gameplay that I usually get. It just, it felt very rewarding to just check them all off the list in a week.
It's like sucker punch, like one after the other, like down, like boom, down, boom.
Exactly.
Down. I'm the greatest gamer ever. So opposite to that, I barely touched a game. The only thing is that what I'm curious about is that what has been interesting to find is that now that I had beaten Final Fantasy IX on my mobile, it's left this like weird hole for like what I would call kind of a deep gaming experience for those type of mobile moments, which really presents a lot of opportunities, like the in-betweens. But so it's something I might want to research into to see what else I could find for it. But despite that, the only other thing I did was play a little bit of No Man's Sky, trying to get one of the new vehicles they released. Like, I really want to get one of the planet buggies and zip around, because it sounds like so much fun. But to do so, you got to get a certain number of resources and then find certain people. And then at some point I had to jump off to another planet, to another system, which hopefully was a certain system that had this certain guy in it, so he could build me a car. And I'm just like, all right, that's about enough of this for today.
No, thank you. I want to zip around planet side on like some crazy lunar rover thing. I will boot up Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go.
Now, if ever there was a T-ball for a segue. So the interesting topic discussed around is the whatever, just ship it. And generally the concept of games running out of time and having to launch oh so quickly, oh too early, or conversely having to continue to push back their timelines further and further. And one of the impetuses, and really interested in getting the dad's thoughts here, was Mass Effect. And some of the controversy, quote unquote, started around the animations and the facial animations, where people thought that could have used a little more time in the oven. Not sure if you guys had thought similar.
Some of the footage I've seen, especially even more so the walks, like seeing some of the walk movements and stuff. Like,
they got a bad strut. Like,
oh, it's so good.
You can tell by the way I walk, I'm ladies' man.
Yeah, it's weird because I think with like the original Mass Effect trilogy was not devoid of its fair share of bugs. But I think the overall artistic direction in regards to how they used the technology that they had at the time, I think was utilized a little bit better, especially when you see with the facial animations. The fidelity of the original trilogy wasn't as high. The graphical power that the systems had were not even close. But what they did with those brush strokes, what they did with that ability to construct a human face and allow it to emote, they were able to get more from it. And sometimes more polygons and higher resolution doesn't always equate to better. And I think that's sort of what we're seeing with some of the movements. Like, I'm not going to rag on the animation team that had to do this, because Lord knows what sort of restraints and deadline issues and stuff that they're being held to. Certain conditions, it's hard to really produce your best work. Mass Effect 1, when it first came out, it was a bit of a launch title in a way. Like, it was kind of a flagship one to sort of like show the power of the next generation that was coming in at the time. But like, I think they were given a little bit more time to sort of like, yeah, no, you're good. Just go ahead. Take your time. Figure it out. With this one, I think they were trying to meet certain deadlines. And with, I think sometimes a lot with AAA studios is that they're held under the pressures of the larger company and them wanting to meet certain demands to have things released within certain quarters so that way they can hit certain targets. And when you're dealing with something that can be somewhat finicky, like animation and art and design and even programming, sometimes that just, they don't gel. It's not like regular manufacturing industry where it's like, well, we know how to make the thing, just make the thing. It's like, well, no, this isn't a sedan, this is a video game. They are entirely different, and sometimes this takes more time than the other. So like, I feel sorry for the team that made it, in the sense of like, they're really getting ragged on, but also I feel like
a lot.
I think the focus shouldn't be on the team that made the game, because I think I wouldn't be shocked if the team was shouting, give us more time please, and the publisher was like, no. I think that might be more the case, but we don't know the whole story, so it's I think we should maybe hold off on you know, getting the funeral pyre lit, and maybe wait and see. You know, I think a good post-mortem on this game would actually be very beneficial both to the gamers and to other game developers.
Yeah, Jeff, Jeff yourself, I mean, did you have that type of reaction in seeing footage or even the trailer?
First off, all the glitches and animations with the montages I've seen are hilarious, because they put them to music, rewind, fast forward them, and make a whole new game out of it. I get what Gavin's saying about, you know, the animation team, there's probably other pressures that we don't know about, but it's almost like they released this game and it was two steps back from where they were. It was like the lighting engine wasn't there. Like, people have dead eyes looking at you. The voice work is like god awful. Like, I don't
understand. Know. Like, really?
Reading from dictionaries.
Especially when you see the side-by-side comparison to like Mass Effect 2. Like, facial animation comparisons of Andromeda and Mass Effect 2. And you see two characters both just carrying forward regular dialogue, nothing too dramatic, nothing too heavy as far as trying to emote things, but just delivering standard dialogue. And the previous iterations, the subtlety of movement and the attention to detail in regards to how the human face moves when it talks, it was just there. And this new one just doesn't quite have it. There's a certain sense of a robotic marionette sort of nature to it. I think it might be maybe a bit of a pinch of uncanny valley, maybe because they're looking so much more realistic in regards to texture. But even then, I think the stills are doing fine, but the movements.
The clip I saw,
the animation in the trailers looked good.
Yeah, like the clips.
This is another one of those, like, the marketing for the game.
Yeah,
different than what we see in the final product.
And I think a lot of the people that were at BioWare for Mass Effect 2 or 3 have since left. So I don't know if it's just a matter of, you know, they stuffed new people in and they're not quite sure where their direction is, or maybe they have a different vision. Yeah. But it just seemed like nothing looks to be gelling quite right in that.
They could have also been using a different sort of procedure to the animation.
Yeah,
they could have had a new team come in and they're like, oh, we like to produce facial animations in this method. And maybe that method just didn't work as effectively.
Listen to the female Krogan that's in there. That voice is just god awful. Like, there should not have been greenlit. And I remember Mass Effect 2. I never played 3. I just played the demo, I think, of it. But I remember Mass Effect 2. Like, there's a whole, like, history on how there's no female Krogans ever, and like, the race is like dying, and all of a sudden the playthroughs I've seen is like, hey, here's a female Krogan. Like, no explanation, just, hey, whatever.
Because it was like, yeah, go for it. Oh, yeah, one of the other alien races released, like,
the Salarians, right? Like, the
Salarians released a virus that basically killed off the entire female line.
Okay, hold on, hold on. I think we're going to get...
That's not spoilers. That's not spoilers.
No, no, not spoilers. I don't think that's how they just... They just made it so they couldn't procreate. It wasn't about male and female.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
was
okay. Sorry,
just like, okay. Jeff was kind of saying it, but now that you... No, no, no. Just to be clear, and this that happened to be one of... That has... Still holds up as one of my favorite game series I've ever played through. So, to be clear...
He has notes.
Released, they were females. They just... they could not procreate because of the virus.
The man who no longer has to wear glasses literally just pushed his glasses up his nose and went, point of order.
Point of order.
No, hold on.
Oh, hey, I wasn't going to say it, but then you started to double down on it. It's like, all right. That voice thing. So the enemy, the voice, the face is okay. They'll take you out of the moment a little bit. The voices, that's especially painful to hear, because I mean the problem is like so much of it is, I mean shooty space time simulator, great. Okay, there's a bunch of those. In many ways though, like that connection, those stories, like the reasons to be part of it, like they became so integral to the Mass Effect series, and to hear that there could be these momentous soaring emotional moments of the story. It's like, what do you mean? How can we possibly do this? I do not think that's how it works. Like, just rip you out of the moment. That is so troubling to hear. I either hope it's overblown or it's something they could actually pack. They'll pull a Dinklage and just completely remove a few characters and replace.
Maybe switch the language. See if the other languages are bad or something. Just subtitle it.
Yeah, watch like the Spanish version be like amazing.
Yeah, they got the beat.
Oh, they'd be good at passion. So yeah. And I'll say this. I mean, like, especially if you're going to, from a dad perspective, if you've decided to A, put your limited game resources, and B, put your limited game time into a series that seems to have been pushed out too early, as opposed to taking the additional 3 months to get it right, that's especially kind of painful. Like, that is not a lot of time and resources you're playing with.
And is it done? Like, is it starting another series? Is Andromeda, I didn't read up on if it was like
close. Brand new.
New trilogy.
Oh God. Not to, like, they can always improve, obviously. Like, it's great. Maybe, you know, they work, like, again, post-mortem, they work on it. They come out bigger and better, stronger, faster. But you have to put the time in to something that it's very cringeworthy at some points, and you're just rolling your eyes, and I don't know if you can get through it for 40 hours.
Well, and it's been adjusting sort of how I look at purchasing games now. Like, I tend not to, I'm very reluctant to pre-order because I've been too many times, and especially now, like, that I'm a dad, my time is limited when it comes to gaming. Having that sense of it's not done yet, it's like, yeah, but you sold it to me, it's in my hands, yeah, but it's not done yet.
Yeah, exactly. Having full price. Happen,
like with like Just Cause 3, and then basically like the load times were just unbearably long for me, so I had to wait for it to get patched, and then even then there was some issues that I kept running into. There's been a few games actually of recent to last couple of years where it's like, yeah, I just can't, I need to wait. Like, I think maybe it comes down as well as like, maybe if less people pre-ordered, like maybe they need to, maybe the companies that are demanding these releases, I think also if gamers kind of relaxed a bit when a studio says, hey, we're going to need a little bit more time, because it's the other issue too, is like people, they'll sharpen their pitchforks if the game comes out half-baked, and they'll light the torches if the game is delayed. And it's kind of like, well, what are the developers supposed to do? It's like, if they say, hey, we need to delay this game a bit so we can get it done right, how dare you go back on your promise? And it's like, hey, we got the game done on time. It's not done right. It's like, well,
I would like to be in Sony and Microsoft's shoes too, because I can see the PC market kind of fixing any issues. Like, I bet you fans and mods will be done where they voice over the entire game. I can see that happening. But on console, you're kind of stuck, right? So, you know, what does Sony and Microsoft have to say where they're, you know, they do big bucks with, I think it's EA is publishing it. So they're not going to, like, you know, close the door on them, but they kind of be burnt a little bit too, because I can see people that want to play it will probably go to the PC version if they have that choice, just for that opportunity.
With as much with exclusives as we are with multi-platform, because, like, if you think of, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, like, that was an exclusive, and that one was... That came out without any glaring issues.
Yep.
You know, I'm trying to think of a recent Xbox exclusive. I'm not trying to be clever or humorous here, but I'm because I don't own an Xbox, I'm having trouble kind of, I'm at a loss. But
I think Halo Wars 2 just launched, and that was pretty well received.
Yeah, that was well received as well.
Forza is usually a winner out the gate.
Actually, yeah, Forza was another that was exclusive, and it came out, and it was, like, very well received. Everybody really liked it. It didn't come out with any, like, oh, we need that day one patch for it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
I think Gears of War, last one, wasn't it? Whether or not, like, maybe it wasn't the greatest game.
No, but it was still.
It's going to be like, okay, they did great work. This is a Gears game.
Yeah.
There wasn't any issues, I think, with functionality or quality. It was more just the story wasn't as captivating. It had more to do with the zeitgeist of you know, our current gaming atmosphere, that it did to actual, you know, the developer doing their job. Like, they handled their work really well. I think just sometimes the zeitgeist of gamers changes over time, and what they're looking for and what is being requested sometimes changes. But a lot of people playing Gears that I've seen, they really enjoyed it. So yeah, I don't really see it as much as the exclusives. It seems more of a multi-platform thing, and I think, I'm not sure, like, maybe there's some issues going on with trying to please both platforms or all three platforms, and also trying to satisfy releasing on three markets simultaneously and not going over their budget. It's weird, but it's something that I don't think we saw as much. I mean, maybe it's also because we're so inundated with games coverage and news and stuff and podcasts, people just talking about games, that it doesn't really let game devs just go do their thing and then, like, hey, next week our thing's coming out, enjoy.
But even the launch window, they launched at the wrong time. Like, Zelda just got 10 out of 10s everywhere, and Horizon Zero Dawn. And, you know, they might not be in the same ballpark in terms of genre, but they're pretty close. And then you get this janky animated thing, and... You can't help but compare something. You're like, okay, well, I know they took 10 years to build their game, but people are going to have a choice. They're going to go.
It's also building off of a very beloved legacy too. So they have a long way to fall if they dropped it.
Yeah. It's like, if you look at the duration of time, like with in between Halo games, like a Halo game doesn't come out till it's ready and very, like, I can't really think of a Halo release that was ever like, this game is broken. Like, it'd come out and maybe the story might not have resonated with some people as much as others, but that was sort of the same with, like, Gears. It's like, sometimes the story just doesn't resonate with the audience as much, but the overall pedigree of the product is still high. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as with Mass Effect, like, that was a very more genre, but I don't know, maybe it's also part of the course. Like, I know each installment of Mass Effect was received less and less favorably as we went through. Like, one, everybody really loved. Two, it was kind of divided. Three, people were not exactly thrilled with the ending. Like, I know myself, I enjoyed the trilogy, but I'm just basing it off of, like, how I've seen overall audience reaction. Maybe this was just sort of the direction it was sort of going. It's, I don't know. Hopefully, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's really tough because, like, you want a franchise to do well. You want them to continue on. Some of the things I've seen from the new Mass Effect look really intriguing to me. It looks really fun, and some of the planets look really interesting, and I want to explore them. But if there's this other stuff I have to get through to get to it, I just don't know if I have the time or the patience.
So I always love the combat of Mass Effect, though. Like, just you get the powers bionic. I don't know. Can't remember that. Something that, and like you're mixing that with weapons and all sorts of other powers, running and ducking, squad kind of management. And it was a cool feeling. At least Mass Effect 2, like, it was a great experience. I just never had the time to get into 3, but this game kind of looks cool that way. It's just the frame of it, the shell is falling apart, and it's hard to go against the other games that are coming out, even with like indie titles and stuff.
So what would so if I might pose the question, then what would the two of you suggest be the remedy? I mean, is that as simple as saying find a way to ask for some forgiveness from the populace and get more time, so like pushed back deadlines, and is that totally reasonable to ask for? Like, we need another 6 months, and it's like, you know, we have to we can't keep the lights on if like if you to build this in perpetuity. This can't be not every game could be Duke Nukem.
Oh god. Or Last Guardian. Last Guardian had time in the oven.
Yeah,
and thank god that, you know, somewhat turned out. I think you know, like, it's not perfect, but
that was a thing where sometimes time in the oven, like, it affects like the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
you know, just... I use that word like 8 times tonight. But
Last Guardian,
by the time it came out, what people were craving from a game had changed substantially.
Yeah, so
what they were trying to satisfy, the audience they were trying to satisfy, didn't exist anymore because they've changed, they've grown, they've adapted to new forms of puzzle mechanics and stuff like that, and new narrative styles that the game felt like a retro game with a really good coat of paint. But that's because the mindset and sensibilities of when it was, the main core mechanics were designed, they were designed back then, not now. I think asking for more time is not bad. If a studio can swing it, like if a studio has the resources to keep going and to make the thing, and with these larger AAA studios, a lot of times they could, if shifting things around. You see smaller studios doing it. You see indie studios doing it. Night in the Woods, I believe, released a little late. This other indie game called Strafe, which is like a first-person shooter, kind of throwback to old Quake. That one's getting pushed back a little bit because they need to adjust some things.
I think Owlboy took 9 years or so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cappy.
It's maybe an extreme case, but.
Yeah, Cappy pushed back below, and they haven't even really given another alternative release date. They're just kind of like, it needs to be done right. We'll let you know when it's ready.
They caught
some flack for that, but I don't know. I think there is a point, like, from a dev end where it's like, yeah, when it's done, you got to find a time where you say, yes, this is done. It's not perfect, but it's done. But I think sometimes there's a difference between it's not perfect, but it is done, and it's done enough, ship it. And there is a fine line between those two, and understanding where that fine line is sometimes can be a very difficult job.
I think part of that indie scene too is that they could like live and die off one game, so it better be good. Yeah. Like,
that's the other thing too, is like all their eggs are in that basket.
Yeah, it's like, dude, this is your first shot. First impressions count. And it's not like a Michael Bay Transformers movies where they just kind of pump them out and like whatever.
The idea of expendable loss.
It's starting to become interesting. I mean, obviously, Greenlight and other platforms, but more, you know, obviously with Steam and those these early releases where it's that very well-defined relationship with between the developers and the early adopters, where it's just like, look, this is very much in process. Ideally, it's very much a playable game, but, you know, there's going to be changes, and I want quick feedback. So, I mean, suppose for some types of games, that is the opportunity. I mean, Darkest Dungeon, man, that had to be a great, I don't know if it's Greenlight. What's the other system that's called where it's,
like Early Access?
Early Access. So, I mean, Dark Dungeon had to be in Early Access for ages before that ever, like, finally got a full release. And it had this, like, rabid fan base, like, whilst in Early Access. Now, I would surmise or propose that type of game certainly lends itself to that, because it's, you know, it's very much kind of a little bit random, like you're just going to go through, like it doesn't particularly matter. The thought that you could possibly have early access for something like Mass Effect, which is super story driven. Like, what are you on Earth are you going to do the second, third time through? Yeah.
That's true, because a lot of the other ones I can think of, like Kerbal Space Program was an awesome hit. Subnautica is still being developed.
Yeah.
There's a couple of hits that I think are more sandbox-like, where the input could be adjusted from players. But if it's narrative, it's kind of, that's a closed door. Kind of, we have a plot line to surprise you with. You can't really be let in on the details, maybe the game mechanics, but not really the story. But then you think of like the other side of the coin, where, you know, just ship it already. It's like the Star Citizen, like raising $150 million or whatever, and they're still in development.
Like Alpha. Alpha, pre-alpha.
Yeah, it'll never come out. It's like, just ship it. Just get it out the door and have people have fun with it.
Yeah, I think, again, from a dad perspective, it's just not, you don't have time for this. Like, you can't be putzing around with. Like, you have such a limited gameplay. Like, I'm going to accept, you know, a big studio release that just didn't live up to par. I don't have the money or the time. Like a game that's in pre-release that you're kind of playing with, it's like, if I'm really desperate for this particular world, but I mean, otherwise there's a lot of polished, wonderful games to get to with my very limited time. I mean, I saw like Witcher, like down to like $10.
Oh yeah. It's been more than that. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like,
yeah.
Like,
don't buy it though. You'll spend your life in there.
That seems like a whole, man, is this, yeah, there's no way. I just can't do that world. It's too big. It's too much.
Maybe with Andromeda, right? Going back to Mass Effect, you know, wait. It's probably going to hit the bargain bin pretty early if it's not getting its numbers. Well, you know, just the initial reception. I don't think people are running out to buy it. They're waiting. It's like a wait and see. It's just going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not spending $80.
I don't like to see decent studios hurt, but at least that hopefully will drive impetus to improve it.
They need to know. Like, I'm not narking on the artists, right? Like the people behind it, it's the company needs to know, hey, you can't do this.
Especially too, when people are going to be comparing it to their own work. It's not like we're trying to hold them up to a bar from another studio. It's like, this is the
pedigree
that people expect from this brand. Like, it's not like we're just comparing them to some other random game with facial animations. No. It's like, of other BioWare games, the animation quality has always been really, really solid.
Yeah.
So to release something with these issues, whatever their causes, to have a company publish something with that glaring of an issue and just to do it, that seems hard on the players, especially given it's like, well, last time I gave you $80, I got this.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Even Dragon Age, like they did Dragon Age.
Dragon Age was beautiful.
Yeah,
it'd be like if you went to your favorite restaurant and you kept getting a beautifully medium rare steak, and then you sit down and they just put down, like, you know, a hamburger, like from a frozen patty or something. You know,
getting hungry now.
Or even I'm doing that, aren't I? Talking about food, I do that. But no, it's if you went to a restaurant and you're expecting a certain level of quality that you've gotten there consistently, and the meal just didn't meet standards. I'm not saying it has to be a frozen hamburger, but if your usual steak that you always got, if they accidentally burnt the steak and they didn't take the time to refire a new one, you'd be disappointed in them. If they came to you and said, hey, we accidentally burnt your steak, we're going to need another 10 minutes to do another one for you, is that okay? Then you say,
pitchfork.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
alrighty.
Yeah.
So all right, to wrap up the episode, I'm going to have you both run through an exercise. So I'd like you, in your best fatherly manner, to sit BioWare on your knee. So come here, my boy, BioWare, and like to explain to them the life lesson and the go forward path for. So fatherly advice about releasing games to BioWare. So let's start with you, Jeff.
BioWare, what you did was wrong. It was bad behavior. You have to think about your actions. take your time, focus on what you're doing. I don't want you to rush. I want you to produce the best quality work you can do. It's the effort. It's about the effort, not the end product. Although in this case, the end product does count. But try your best. You didn't try your best. Do it over. Ooh. Go to your room. Think about what you've done.
Harsh would fare. Gavin, if you want to call over a little Bioware there to your knee and...
Okay, little buddy. Now, I saw your homework, and I gotta say, you've had much better marks than this. Now, you know your mom and I are proud of you, but you handed them something that you knew wasn't done. And all you had to do was just ask for a little bit more time. So next time, be honest. So you can do it justice and do it right. And that way we can put your stuff on the fridge.
Well done, sir.
I think on the fridge.
Man, we are going to mail that to Bioware. That's
I think that's good. Yeah. I agree.
That is fair.
It's fair, yes.
And I think that's a real leave it to the Beaver moment.
I'm never working in the industry again. Thank you.
Do that. Yeah, this video will pop up whenever you go for an interview.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, they need an opportunity to do a good solid postmortem on it, find out what happened, how this stuff got out. Because, you know, it's easy for us to point out the flaws, but it's a lot harder to figure out why. But I think at the end of the day, it's like sometimes work just needs time to be finished. We have to be patient for that as gamers. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just a really strict lesson in the fact that if you don't take the time that's needed, there can be massive effects.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, buddy. This has been New Dad Gaming. Thank you so much for listening.
You were thinking about that the entire episode, weren't you?
That came up at the end during Gavin's speech.
That's probably the reason we did the topic.
It starts with a pun and it grows out from there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. We record this podcast weekly. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcasting service. If you'd like to reach out to the New Dads, you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com, as well as our Facebook group and our Twitter account. We'd love to hear from you. And... did I mention that to give us questions and show ideas?
I think you did.
Neat. Two times a charm. I'm still just really, I'm just sitting here in the glow of that pun. Sorry.
Oh my God.
So we'd love to hear from you guys. Please reach out, rate and subscribe to our show and pass along to friends, most notably new dads who game. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. My name is Trevor and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin and I have a 1.5-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Good night.